I am joined in the studio. I always love it when I get company in the studio by Ryan Honey now, and who is the executive director of the arts campus at Willits, also known as Takaw. I always want to like call like a bird.
I know. Right? The giant bird sounds.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And if you hear another little voice pop up in the background, he's joined by his really darling 5-year-old son, Cole.
So, and studio guest, Cole Honey.
Exactly. Yeah. Studio guest. He's got a bright future ahead of him already, right? Ryan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here always, anytime.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. And I'm so excited about all the things happening because, you know, it is First Friday, which is very, very Carbondale-centric.
Yes.
And I love it, and my social calendar is packed, as is a lot of people's I know that are in Carbondale, but we have listeners all up and down the valley.
That's right.
And not everybody is going to make it to Carbondale, and you and I had a pretty cool conversation for an article I wrote in this week's Sober Sun.
Which was great. Well done.
Why, thank you.
I'm a little biased because you interviewed me, but it really was good reporting, so thank you.
You know, I try, but, you know, I'm a little biased too, I guess, in my reflection of my work, I guess. But there's a lot of really neat things happening in the Mid-Valley, in Basalt right now.
No question.
Specifically with the arts. And you're kind of, whether you intended to be this or not, you're sort of in the center of it all.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, I feel like it's a really cool time for the Mid-Valley and in particular Basalt. I mean, I feel like Carbondale has had over the last 20 years of investment in the arts. It's paid off and they have this great identity that they have because of that. And obviously Aspen has had that for 50 years. But I feel like Basalt's having a moment. I mean, I feel like what Jen has done at the Art Base the last couple of years since she took over there is really remarkable and they're doing great stuff. And then with us opening the Temporary, there's finally performing arts in the Mid-Valley. And it's just been really fun to see the community come out, come together to be able to promote local organizations using culture to promote local cultural organizations like Thunder River and others. So to partner with KDNK, which we love doing, we've partnered with you guys, I think 3-4 times
last year. Several times, yes.
So fun. It was
always,
so fun.
Yeah. Always fun.
So, it's a hoot.
Yeah. No, it's great. Well, and it's just such a fun space, and which we also kind of talked about. And I'm going to get into what you have to scurry off and prep for tonight specifically in a bit here. But, you know, I love the Temporary. I think it's so cool. It's always such a challenge for me as an amateur photographer because you've got that like lit up.
Oh, it's so hard. Thing.
But it's so fun to like play with and try. I mean, the lighting's great. You've got this industrial yet intimate space.
I'll tell you the trick that I can't do because I'm not that good of a photographer. But if you take multiple shots at the same time and then lower the aperture on one and increase the aperture on the other and then merge them together in post, you can get really remarkable photographs.
All right.
Because that neon is beautiful to look at.
It's so beautiful, but it's so hard. So yeah. Will Grandbois or Jane Bacharach, who often edit my shots, if you're listening.
Come on down.
Yeah, right, right. No, they're the photographers in the group.
A great photographer who we started working with, who's started coming in, and you'll see on our website all the photos get dramatically improved over time because he knows how to shoot. I don't.
Right. I know. I'm always like, well, that's why I love digital. Out of these 80 photos, right, two of them are going to be publishable.
Not bad.
Good times. But it is such a great space, but it is not a space that was originally created for performance.
Right. It's just a storefront that we converted. Yeah. We realized that we wanted to start promoting right away. bio break. We realized that, you know, we have a parcel of land in Willits that we're going to be building a permanent facility on, but we realized it was more important to start programming immediately than it was to wait and to build our audience base and build our donor base and all that good stuff. So we opened the Temporary.
So with the Temporary, and I agree, for what it's worth, as somebody who directly benefits from having access to more performance spaces in the backyard, as it were. Thank you. But it can present challenges. And in terms of choosing shows, how much of the space and those challenges, like, you know, the giant cement pillar we've talked about,
that's
that
really
limits seating.
The main challenge from the audience perspective that they have in the Temporary is that giant pillar. We've mitigated most of the other ones that are just production challenges that we figured out how to deal with. And so, you know, it's not so much a challenge of what can we do or not do. Obviously, you can't do huge theatrical productions in there because there's just limited backstage space. And but we've done a lot of really interesting theater and one-man shows, one-person shows. Comedy works great. Obviously, music works great. The challenge really becomes the capacity, right? So mm-hmm. the show we had, I think it was last week, we had Robert Dubek's Book of Moron, which was a huge hit, but we can only have 160 seats because we wanted everyone to have a great view of the show. So we ended up, not having people with obstructed seating. And that means we probably could have sold another, who knows how many more tickets, because there was lots of demand. So that piece will be resolved. And then there's, when we move over to the permanent, there's so much that the audience doesn't see that'll get easier for us, just in terms of load-ins and lighting cues and sound cues and the talent experience. And we've done a great job making the temporary, really fun, but, it's giving artists a great experience, but it's not meant for that. So, but we've also heard loud and clear from the community that they love that space and they love the intimacy of it. So mm-hmm. in our plans for what we're going to build down the street is going to be a space that's, we call the contemporary. It's essentially the same.
same Keep sort of temporary look and feel, right in the yeah. name. I love that.
Yeah. So we want to honor what we've created as we continue to grow.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. There's such an interesting conversation to be had about the growth side of Basalt right now. And Willits in particular, I mean, that parcel just sold for, did I see 2.4 or something?
2.25 or something.
Yeah. So there is that kind of beautiful balance to strike between maintaining what's good.
Yeah.
And also incorporating the future.
Absolutely. And I'm of the mind, people want to live here. Obviously my family and I moved here to be a part of this amazing place. And so if you're going to have more people coming here, put them in the place where density is planned, and that's Willits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the, what that development is designed to do, is to have a bunch of people in a concentrated space. So you can preserve the magic of Old Town Basalt and preserve the magic of Carbondale and other places like that. And that's beneficial to us, right? I mean, we benefit every time somebody moves in the neighborhood, 'cause they utilize the culture that we provide.
Yeah.
So, I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about all kinds of development in the Valley, and I try to stay out of that. try to provide a service to the people that live here, and for those that live here in the future, we'll be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. That's great. And kind of going back into the types of shows that you bring into the temporary in the current space with what you have to work with, and the one man shows and the comedy and all the maximize the space with smaller concentrations of talent.
Yeah.
I want to use that as a springboard to talk about this next show that you've got going on, because I was Googling it a little bit and it looks kind of off the walls in all the right ways.
Yeah, I know. Right. It's going to be super cool. We've had a lot of really cool, interesting performances, and this one is going to be unique like so many of the other ones. And I got to give a shout out to our artistic director, Mark Breslin, and our programming committee of the board, who do incredible work vetting the vast amount of talent that is now coming our way, which is a good thing, right? We're getting calls from people. And a year ago, we were like, will you come please play here? And now it's like, wait, who are you?
That's awesome.
But this show tonight, which is Michelangelo and Da Vinci, The Titans Experience. Mark Rogers has this installation in Denver where he explores the Renaissance through the perspective of these two geniuses and provides insight and a unique perspective on that time period. But what's really cool about the show is he really challenges the audience to find their own inner genius and think outside the box and be creative. And I just love that aspect of it, because I feel like you can experience culture and just be like, oh, this is nice.
But yeah, passive.
Yeah, you know? Passive. Mm-hmm. But when it's immersive and when you're asked to take action and do something, that to me is the real grist for the mill. It's like,
definitely. And I mean, really, for future audiences, for that, no pressure or anything, Da Vinci and Michelangelo did it, right?
Those hacks. Yeah. Yeah. And we're doing a little mixer beforehand so that some of our donors and some of the art-based donors and board members can talk to Mark and get to know what was his inspiration for the show, ask some questions.
Because he brings it all together, man. There's sculpture, there's sketches and painting, there's video, there's
3D renderings.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And so it should be a really neat show. I'm excited to see it myself. So that's the best perk of the job, is seeing all this stuff, right?
So if anybody wants to rub elbows, where and when before the show?
Yeah, well, so it's a private event for our donors.
Oh, well then.
So, but the thing is about the temporary is, come at 7:30 when the doors open, see the show at 8, and Mark will hang out afterwards and chat with folks. It's amazing to me how all of our artists are so gracious to just hang out and chat with people and get to know them. And A few weeks ago, we had a 14-year-old phenom named Emmy Sunshine, who's like a Like, what were you doing when you were 14? Cutting my third record, No
big deal.
Yeah,
casually.
And she hung out. Every kid she chatted with, every parent, she was just so available. And so many of the artists are just always right there. It's so fun.
I love how that kind of, at least in my experience with venues, right? The more intimate spaces like the Temporary kind of foster that vibe, right? It kind of increases the probability that the artist or performer is willing to hang out and honor the intimacy of the space in that way.
Yeah.
That's just special.
I feel like in those small spaces, the artist is affected by them as well, because they are right there with the audience, and it's not like they're performing out to a vast sea of faces that they don't have
connection to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're actually seeing individuals react and catching the smiles and all that. And that's one of the magical things about that space, is that, the artists really enjoy that. And we're going to be in 2019 bringing in some larger artists. We just booked Joan Osborne to come in.
Oh, wow.
Which is great. So she's coming in April. And so it's going to be fun to see his talent that is more recognizable, have been around a longer time, come in and see how they do. But we just had Maria Muldaur, who she did her album, her 40th album. She did the release party at the Temporary.
Oh, wow.
And she's been, she's been around forever and doing amazing music, but she was the same. She just hung out with everyone and kicked it. And it was really cool to see all these folks who, partied to her music in the 60s, mm-hmm. hanging out with her at the bar after. Like, they were so cool. It was great.
That's priceless. I love that. I love that. So I've only got a couple more minutes with you, but I wanted to kind of touch base a little bit, circling back around. You talked about, Basalt, all this stuff is happening, all the saturation of amazing organizations, that there's so much room for collaboration.
Absolutely.
And tonight's show really represented the first time you were able to approach the art base, which is like, different but complementary, the other arts organization.
Yep. Yep.
I love talking to them and all the free programs, arts programs they offer.
Since day one, we've wanted to partner with them.
Yeah.
It was just trying to find the right thing. We were going to do a film series with them, but then the opportunity to work with Aspen Film on a regular basis presented itself, and that made so much sense because Aspen Film brings such depth of relationships and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so we knew, though, we wanted to find something to do with the art base and find a way to show synergy between the performing arts and the visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the perfect thing. But it's been amazing across the board just to partner with so many of the organizations. I mean, we've had shows from Thunder River come up, and we've had most of the Aspen organizations do stuff with us, and it's just been really fun because we feel like we've been welcomed to the party.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of almost the geography of being Mid-Valley. You're right in the middle.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's the sweet spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything I didn't ask that you think listeners should know before I let you go?
So I got to tell everybody, if they're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve, we have the place to be. So we've got Dirty Revival, which is this incredible 8-piece party band from Portland, Oregon, coming, open bar, champagne toast, dessert bar, dancing. It's going to be an epic night, so I hope people will come.
Those are a lot of my favorite words.
I know, right? And half the ticket price is a donation, so there you go.
Well, thank you, Ryan Honey, from the arts campus at Willits to Call and the Temporary, one of my favorite
my
venues
pleasure.
In the area.
Thank you for having me.
And Cole, thank you for your patience while your dad did an interview.